5-hour period.
Secretary of State Blinken is calling for a ceasefire. Vice President Harris visited the southern border at Douglas, Arizona.
I was Attorney General of a border state for 2 terms. I saw the violence and chaos that transnational criminal organizations cause, and the heartbreak and loss from the spread of their illicit drugs.
Former President Donald Trump also talked about the border at a campaign stop in Warren, Michigan.
We're going to close the wall, and we're going to close the border. You know, Nick and I built hundreds of miles of wall and did it well, and we had the best numbers we ever had 4 years ago, and now we have the worst.
New York City's Democratic Mayor Eric Adams pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges. CBS New York reporter Alice Gaines was there.
When we walked into the courtroom, he was already sitting at the defense table with his attorney. He never turned around to look at anyone. He stared straight forward for the entire proceeding. When he got up to leave, we all had to remain seated in the courtroom as U.S. Marshals escorted him out. He looked at one court officer and smiled, but he did not look at anyone in the gallery. The courtroom was filled with most press.
Embattled Republican North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, whose gubernatorial bid has been rattled by allegations that he posted racist and sexually explicit comments online, was hospitalized with second-degree burns. That's according to a campaign statement put out late last night, which said Robinson is expected to resume campaigning today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A small group of people in Wisconsin is doing its part to keep Native American languages from going silent. Mike Moan introduces us to the Indigenous Language Table.
Laura Red Eagle, a writer and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, grew up in rural Wisconsin and says she was somewhat disconnected from her tribal roots. Eventually, she embarked on a learning journey that reconnected her with her ancestors' traditional words and phrases. Her perseverance led to the Indigenous Language Table at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery in Madison. It's a communal gathering that meets once a week, emphasizing the importance of using the language in everyday conversations.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
She feels the most successful revitalization efforts involve multiple participants as opposed to practicing the language alone. Red Eagle says what makes the Indigenous Language Table great is that it doesn't lend itself to an exhausting learning experience.
If they can speak one or two words or at least, you know, get their introduction done or hear some more, then it's worth it. And I don't know, they feel revitalized themselves in doing it.
The weekly events hosted by Red Eagle are attended by natives and non-natives. She says her efforts offer a blueprint for creating vibrant language communities around Wisconsin and beyond. The United Nations warns that more than half of the world's languages will become extinct by the year 2100, a direct consequence of colonialism. This is Mike Mullen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Robert Bordeaux for Arts Midwest.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a mostly clear sky, a little breezy at times, and lows only in the mid-60s. With a wind off the water for the weekend, highs in the low 70s, and a partly sunny sky. Mid-70s on Monday, then cooler for the rest of next week. Right now it's 58.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Damn right. Hey, Wisconsin, how we doing? Oh, it is Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting. It's always exciting. For some reason, it's more exciting to talk about show business, movies and TV and comedy and music on a Friday night, because that's kind of the genesis. That's when it all starts, is weekends. Entertainment, it's extra special on the weekends. It can get us through the week. After a long day, we sit down and we binge watch, or we watch movies, put on the headphones, listen to some music, but I'm telling you, Friday night is the night to discuss movies and TV and all kinds of entertainment stuff, which we will do presently. It is great to have you with me wherever you are in our great state. It's great to have you tuning in, whether it's on the radio or on the stream. Hey, Conrad, I think we should just go over the parameter. Where can people stream? Where can people watch the radio?
Of course. Yeah, we're on YouTube, WGBW or Civic Media. We're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, Civic Media.
This is getting insane with Twitter because, I'm hearing from people that I don't even follow. Like Twitter, regardless of what your political views are, Twitter is so right wing right now. You can't sign on without. I'm seeing all of Trump's tweets and all of Elon Musk's. That's how my feed is, and I don't follow either one of them. It's just, it's like, I don't even like it to begin with. I don't like Twitter anymore, or X, or whatever the heck you want to call it. It's just a cesspool.
Yes, it is.
But I still go there for news because they break news quickly. I have some sports people I follow there, but you can't sign in without being in your face politics. It's terrible.
Well, see, that my Twitter is mainly all sports. Like, that's all I will see. And then the occasional like video I didn't want to see. I'm like, cool, you just ruined my day. Thank you,
like
Twitter.
Like what video?
Just something I didn't want.
So it's you're just not random. Getting the political stuff?
No, not on Twitter, no.
I probably need to make an adjustment or fix a setting or something, but see, I cannot get away from it. It's maddening.
This is what happens when you click on the tweet, to get more explanation. You want to look at the comments for it or something. That's when they're like, oh,
then
he likes it.
Then they keep feeding you.
He likes it, so I'm going to keep doing it. That's the algorithm that they serve. So me, every time I see something with sports, I click on it.
Yeah.
And now my feed is just all Twitter or sports on Twitter.
But here's why I hear what you're saying. I've heard that before. Algorithms, yada, yada. However, I do click on people I follow politically, and I'm curious about the comments. Mostly I go to see comments because oftentimes on Twitter, you'll see comments that attack whoever posted it more so than
yes,
support.
Yes,
it's so twisted.
Yep. Yes, it is.
It should be called Twistered.
Well,
with an X.
I think it's worse on theirs because it's like anonymous pretty much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. You can just put up an avatar and name your name as Mike1234, and you can say whatever you want. It's totally gutless. I cannot stand it. I really how did I start off the night on such a negative? Well, how did I get on Twitter? Oh, because you can watch us on Twitter.
Yeah, you can. So anyways, you can watch us on Civic Media's Twitter page. Okay. We're live on there right now.
That's lovely. we had a fun show tonight. At 6:35, the guy behind the guy will be here. That's all I'm going to say. I'll give you his actual name in the next segment. But he's a guy that's introduced us to a lot of guests here at Nightlight, and I'm thankful for that. And he's a former record executive. But for right now, no names. Actually, if you go to our social media, you'll know who it is. But I'm calling him the guy behind the guy because that's cool. You know, you want to be the guy orchestrating people's lives. That's power, baby. JB Thompson is his name. Let's quit messing around. He'll be here at 6:35. Really good guy. Excited to talk to him about an upcoming event that we will also have people on Monday talking about. Bill Rabane, the director of the Giant Spider Invasion, they're having a big gathering for him, I think October 5th, next Saturday, in Wauwega. And he is a legendary director, and he lives in northern Wisconsin, and he filmed that cult classic in northern Wisconsin. So we've talked about Bill before on the show. We've had Bill on the show. And he was really fascinating to talk to. But JB will be here. He'll talk a little bit about that. Another indie film he's working on. His time in the record business. That'll be fun. That's at 6:35. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, which can only mean one thing. It is a Bar Band Friday night. Co-host of Max Inc. Radio, Terry Barr, will be here. Sharing new music with us, as she does every week. And sparkling conversation. Is there a more positive or upbeat sounding person that you've met in your life, Conrad, than Terry Barr?
I don't think so.
She's like so happy all the
time.
Well,
we just met Charo, though, so.
Okay, touche. Terry, that'll be fun to mention to Terry. Terry, you've been one-upped. Her name is Charo, and she's a show business legend. So, fun show. We're talking about, we were talking about movies last night. And or was it last night or the night before where we talked about what is the most offensive thing in a movie?
No, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Yeah. Okay. Be it an R-rated movie, an NC-17 movie, what most offends you? Sex, language, graphic violence. Well, it got us talking about comedies and how, I think for me anyway, it was a big 20-minute sex scene in the middle of a movie just as like, what is the point of this? So our question tonight is, what is your favorite raunchy comedy? You could also call it a sex comedy. That's what they were called in the 70s and 80s. Animal House, Caddyshack to some degree, Porky's, as Conrad mentioned earlier. There was a movie, and it was all these like phallic innuendos in the 70s and 80s. Joystick, all these terrible. But let us know tonight, what is your favorite raunchy comedy? I would say American Pie is in that category. Yeah. Superbad. Superbad's. The first hour of Superbad is a masterpiece. I love it. and I like the movie overall, but maybe old school too. I would say old school falls into that category.
Yeah. The reason we came up with this question as well is because I mentioned to you earlier that it's the release of,
Don John.
Don John.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And I believe it came out in 2011. That's what I think I saw.
2013. Yeah.
And that is definitely a raunchy comedy. And I just saw it like 2 months ago.
You saw the whole film. I was not aware, or I misunderstood what you said. So how did you, did you think of it?
It's really funny.
Okay.
I don't really want to explain it on air.
Probably can't.
Yeah. I just Google it and then just type in explanation.
We're on at night. We're all adults here. A New Jersey guy dedicated to his family, friends, and church develops unrealistic expectations from watching pornography and works to find happiness and intimacy with his potential true love. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Okay. He's kind of become autosexual, lack of a better.
See, the thing about that is the problem, they make it kind of smaller in that because it goes on for like, I feel like 30 minutes of him going through that problem.
Of having sex with himself.
Yes.
Wow. 30 minutes. It feels ambitious.
I guess it feels long because you're like, all right, why am I watching this? You know,
did you feel a little bit like odd.
Because people catch him doing it, and it's like...
Oh, dear. He's like, you don't need to relive that nightmare. Doesn't enough of that happen in your real life? Scarlett Johansson's in it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Julian Moore, Tony Danza, ladies and gentlemen, and Brie Larson. Boy, a lot of these people have blown up.
It is really funny, though. There's some great comedy moments in it.
Is it a good movie?
I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. All right. I'm going to go to the Rotten Tomatoes. But that is our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? Let us know, and we will read your text on the air. It'll be fun. That's what we do here at Nightlight. So I have, you know, it's fall. We broadcast right next to a gelato store, which is it makes a lovely product. The gelato, Conrad says it's not as good as gelato in Italy. I believe him.
Yeah.
But it's delicious. I mean, gelato, even bad gelato, is probably pretty decent. But I have I went to see my daughter today at her college, so I kind of dressed casually. I had an and one shirt on with Michael Jordan going up, speaking of raunchy comedies. Michael Jordan's doing, it's the Michael Jordan poster look. He's got his legs open and he's reaching up for the dunk from when he took off from the free throw line. And I spilled gelato in an area that looks like Michael Jordan's jockstrap gave way. It was really obscene looking. I had a big gelato spot right at his crotch, hanging from his crotch. So I don't even think I can show that on the air, on the stream. We'd probably get censored, right?
Probably.
Probably look like I took a Sharpie and did it. So that was the way my night started out. Luckily, I've got an overshirt and I look presentable. For those of you watching on the stream, Sherry checks in and says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Sherry, are those Santa Clauses? Those are Santa Clauses, aren't they?
They are.
And hearts. I like the hearts. I like the Santa Clauses, but I think maybe she meant pumpkins. Maybe the pumpkin button was right next to the Santa Claus one. Either way, Sherry, you text whatever you want. It's great to hear from you. Donna from DeForest says, Pete, she says, just block these guys. Yeah. I blocked Elon, and now I don't have to see his... he is embarrassing himself. It's sort of like he just seems so desperate.
I have a feeling since he owns it, just one day he's just going to be like, these people who blocked me, I'm getting unblocked.
Yeah.
He's doing it himself.
Maybe. I don't even know how to do that, to be honest. And honestly, I'm only on Twitter now because of this show. 90%. So I don't really care. I just scroll past it, but I do find it suspicious. It's strange. And like I said, I think I said this last night, Elon is pushing so hard for Trump, and it's so obvious why. Like, you can go back and hear things he said about him. Like, they're not like pals. He just wants to do whatever he wants. But I shouldn't have to read about it every time I log onto Twitter. So maybe I'll take your advice, Donna, and I'll block. I'll block the overlord of Twitter. Steve from Florida says, Dumb and Dumber, the toilet scene is epic. See, that's interesting because I equated raunch with sex, but your dad is right. That's raunchy. Yeah. Jeff Daniels dropping a deucey doodle-doo. all right, so keep those texts coming. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? You can let us know. I didn't even read the number. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The guy behind the guy coming up at 635. We'll be right back with more surprises here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am sharing some good news about prices and inflation. Inflation is back to normal. Yes, you heard that right. All the price craziness that we've had to deal with because of the pandemic and supply chain issues, tariffs, companies gouging our prices, it's coming back down. This summer, inflation dropped to its normal level, under 3%, which is a great sign for our economy. Now, I'm old enough to remember going to the White Hen with two quarters and walking out with a pop. So prices are still higher than that, but we're really getting back into some normal after all that COVID cost chaos. I love me some normal. And that was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Jewry saying, take good care.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I am so curious to see how this pickleball movie is going to turn out. Ben Stiller is making a movie about pickleball. Pickleball has swept the country. It's not quite more popular than the NFL yet, but it's getting there.
Well,
it's got a ways to go.
Yeah.
I would love to see what that combine looks like. A bunch of 80-year-old dudes doing the 40. See how many times they could bench 225. Ben Stiller is making a film called The Dink. That's got to be a pickleball shot, right? Like you just kind of maybe dink it in there, I would imagine.
It is called a... Yep.
Okay. And I've played more pickleball than the average guy. I still wouldn't call myself an aficionado. I don't think I'm that good at it, but I have played quite a bit, and I've been playing for about 12 years. But it's huge right now. So in the spirit of dodgeball, Ben Stiller is directing a movie called The Dink about pickleball. It's going to star Jake Johnson. What do we know about Jake Johnson? Do we think he's a worthy adversary for the star?
I didn't even know that, and I actually think it's pretty good.
The guy from The New Girl?
And he was in Tag.
Oh, yeah.
Let's Be Cops. He was in this movie. It was a Hulu movie. I got to go to the Google for what it was.
A Hulu movie? They don't make many movies.
Self-Reliance.
Okay.
This movie was amazing.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's... I need to look up the Rotten Tomatoes because I'm pretty sure it got a really good rating. But if you haven't seen that, I recommend it.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I don't know much about him at all.
74.
All right. For a comedy, that's amazing.
Yeah, I really like that movie. I think that's a great actor to be in that, though. I could see him being in pickleball gear.
Sure. I think he, I have seen him and stuff. I got to tell you, I cannot even think of him acting, though. It's weird. But Ed Harris is going to be in it. Mary Steenburgen. Ben Stiller will have a supporting role. And Andy Roddick is going to have a supporting role. Jake Johnson plays a washed-up tennis player who, I guess, turns to pickleball. You can see that coming a mile away. It's like a tin cup situation or something. But do you think it's going to be like dodgeball where they just like start wailing on the older people and crushing shots and stuff?
I think the old people are going to crush the washed up tennis player.
I don't know.
And then he needs to learn how to play it the actual way because he goes into it thinking like, I'll be good. I was a tennis player, you know. I don't think he'll actually take it seriously until he gets into the competition. Then he needs to learn it from the ground up.
Then he realizes there's nuance in the game, and Ed Harris will take him under his wing. I guess. I mean, t- to me, it seems like it really does lend itself to comedy in the way that Dodgeball did. You could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be the requisite people getting hit in the crotch with hard wiffle balls, pickleballs.
I think Emerson Lehman's going to be in it, right?
Well, he should be. Sounds like he is like hardcore pickleball. That is, and he's such a young guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think who knows? I mean, I was playing tackle football with my friends till I was about 27, which is lunacy. It's really stupid. But I played basketball. I don't know that I would have wanted to slow down. Not that pickleball is like, you're active and you're playing.
Yeah.
But I don't equate it with like Frisbee Ultimate or basketball or one of those games where you're like moving fast back and forth.
Well, see, the thing about pickleball is it is very fast paced, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Sure.
But I don't think, like you said, you're not getting as much activity though as those other sports. But it is fast paced, at least.
I feel it's like tennis for people who don't want to be that active. But it's fun. No question about that. This is another story that drove me crazy. And I'm so tired of hearing about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez have a $68 million home that they paid cash for. Great. They've earned it. They're both big draws. They've earned every penny. But sometimes when they write articles about these people having trouble selling their homes, I'm like, are they honestly, do they want us to feel sympathy? And this is another thing. David Beckham and his wife, Victoria Beckham, they live in a block called Mansion Row, I think it's called. And there was a whole article in the New York Post about how they'll have to endure their neighbors getting their home renovated. And it's going to be loud construction noises. And the whole article is like, what a challenge it's going to be for them. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How many homes do they have that they can escape to during the carnage of their next door neighbor fixing up their house? I'm sorry, I can't. And billionaires too. I'm tired of hearing about ridiculously rich people that can't catch a break. And again, they've all earned it. They, you know, whatever. Elon Musk made some shrewd business moves. He got his money. Mark Cuban, same. Warren Buffett, my God, that's a lifetime of wealth he's built. David Beckham, great at his sport. Ben Affleck. But, you know, give me a break. Could you ever feel sorry for a billionaire or a multi? Nothing no, I read no. would make me, unless it's like something physical or the loss of a loved one, I go, of course, because we're all human beings. But outside of that, sorry.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
I totally agree. It's like, you know, nothing can be that bad for you when you have that much money.
Just buy your way out of it. Spend your way out of it, buddy. Suck it up. Throw some hundreds at it. Throw a few C notes. All right. So JB, our guest at 6:35, coming up next, says next Friday, 10 to 4, favorite raunchy, that's the Bill Rabane event, I'm assuming. I'll clarify that with him when he's on the show. He says his favorite raunchy comedy is National Lampoon's Vacation. That's a great one, too. Here's my only issue with Steve's comment. I don't know that a PG-13 movie can be considered raunchy, even though there's the Jeff Daniels crapping his brains out scene. JB also says so many amazing films to choose from. That's certainly true. And then continues on and says highly competitive pickleball over the top. That's what the movie will be. Just like Dodgeball. Okay. It's a Bar Band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr will be here at 8:35 with new music like she always is. And coming up after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed, the guy behind the guy, JB Thompson, will be here. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me. Every time I'm with you, baby, I can't believe it's true. When you lay it in my arms, you do the things you do. You can see it in my eyes, I can feel.
The Shaw, WAUK. CBS News brief. The Israeli military says it has killed the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. It was a strike on Hezbollah's underground headquarters in Beirut. BBC's Chris Barrow.
The Israeli attacks have stoked fears of a regional war, with Hezbollah firing more rockets into northern Israel on Saturday. The group's backer, Iran, said Friday's strikes constituted a war crime. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has again said that diplomacy is the best way forward.
Residents of Florida and the Southeast are coping with widespread flooding after Hurricane Helene. Alan Matthews is at Mountain Island, North Carolina.
I've been here for 22 years. I've been boating on this lake for 3 years, and I've never seen the water this high.
Former President Donald Trump campaigned in Michigan.
I always say this is an election that I used to say determined by the stomach. Actually, I don't believe that anymore. I think it's now determined by the brain, because nobody wants to have criminals pouring into our country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, bro. I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know. Whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 4 games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny by this afternoon. It will be breezy, a high around 71. Northeast winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 64. Sunday, partly sunny and highs around 72.
Right now, it's 58.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have some great news for our money. The Fed just cut interest rates for the first time in 4 years. This means that buying a house or a car is about to get a little easier and a little cheaper, because loans are going to cost less. It might be time for some refinancing. And my favorite part is that credit card interest rates should also be coming down. This is because inflation is under control. The Fed is the Federal Reserve. It's the central bank of the U.S. They kept interest rates high because they wanted to bring down inflation. And the current administration has done a lot to curb price gouging from corporations. So now inflation is low enough that the country's top bankers, the folks at the Fed, have cut interest rates. It feels pretty great to share some good money news. I'd love to hear yours. Drop me a comment on any one of my videos over at Work Money Media on YouTube.
The Todd Allbus Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pack right, load. Words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim from Appleton says, oh, Pete, there are so many. He's referring to raunchy movies. That's our question of the night. What is your favorite raunchy movie? Could be a sex comedy. Could just be an R-rated shock comedy, whatever you want to call it. But we're calling them raunchy movies for the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842. Jim from Appleton says, oh, Pete, there are so many. Porky's, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, I would put that in that category, too. Biloxi Blues, the Neil Simon movie, Jim, with Matthew Broderick, The Van, Animal House, How to Choose. Yeah, there's a lot of great options. I don't think I saw The Van. I don't know what that is. Maybe our next guest knows what The Van is. Should we ask him? Why not? Ladies and gentlemen, joining me now on Nightlight, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He is truly the guy behind the guy. He's found me several guests since I've been on the air. He is an indie filmmaker and a social media marketer, and he is kind of co-running or helping out with a big event coming up next week that we'll talk to him about as well. Joining me now on Nightlight for the first time is JB Thompson. JB, how are you?
I'm awesome, Pete. How are you doing?
Doing great. This is fun that we could finally line this up.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on because here's what I like. When I say the guy behind the guy, you suggested a topic or a guest, and I'll be like, great, that sounds fantastic. Why don't you come on and we can discuss it? And you're like, well, you know what? This guy would be much better. Very selfless and very kind of passing the torch or paying it forward, whatever you want to call it. So I appreciate your selflessness and your contributions to Nightlight from behind the scenes, and it's great to finally have you on the scene.
Well, it's really great to be on here. And yeah, I've dodged it as long as I could. I had to go out and get my hair cut so I look presentable today and everything else to get ready. So, you know.
Oh, wow. For a phone interview. That's really impressive. But it's great to have you here. All right. So where to start with you? Let's start with you told me a week ago that you were working on a film, an indie film. Can you tell us about that? I love indie films.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're working on the proof of concept for it, and the final edits should be done today, and then it goes off to get colorized, and it's just been a blast, man. I mean, it's called The Rise of Deermageddon, the musical, and this kind of originated a while ago, probably about 4 years ago. They talked about it, and then about a year and a half ago, I caught wind of it, and I'm like, let's do this. So, you know, we teamed up. We got a lot of different actors together, and actually, I was introduced to Dan Davies from our mutual friend Eric, and Dan's always doing film projects, right? Like he's out there hustling and making all these different things happen. And so he was kind of looking for somebody to kind of take ownership of this project. So we did the screenplay for it, and then yeah, we shot it about 3 weeks ago, and it's been in post-production, and it's hilarious. A lot of great actors in it from the Wisconsin area. I mean, we got Dan, we got Kayla Kelly, which she's been on your show, Ezekiel Drews, yeah. I think he might have been on your show, Amy Radloff, Daniel Wheeler, Craig Knitt, he's been on your show.
Sure.
Caroline Thompson, Eric O'Branson, Tarek O'Branson. So it's a phenomenal ensemble of people, and it's just funny, and it's a little bit weird, man, which I think, you know, it's a washed-up football player from Wisconsin, which I laughed because I found out that the godfather of Green Bay which is about this bar owner that's a washed up football player from Wisconsin, right?
Yes. The Godfather of Green Bay. I wrote a character called Big Jake Norquist, who is living in the glory days, and he is a washed up football player. Now he's a gangster and a drug dealer in Green Bay. So yeah, that's an easy target, right? It's a great role to write, but tell us, and part of it is, JB, I love that. I don't know if you introduced me to Dan. I knew Craig, but I don't know a ton of filmmakers in Northeast Wisconsin. So it's great having met those guys, and your part in that has been great because that's what I like to talk about. I love indie film. I love any kind of film, but I want to be supportive. I know Wisconsin, in my opinion, they should make more movies here. And I know they're trying to pass incentives, but there's so many creative people here, so much talent. And I love what you guys did. When you say you shot 3 weeks ago, is this a feature film?
Nope. This is just a proof of concept. So it was supposed to be eight minutes and it turned out to be just under 15.
Okay.
So this is proof of concept so we can sell it to make the feature.
Gotcha.
And right now we're eyeing up a bunch of different festivals and we're going to do a festival run with it.
Nice.
So trying to promote the Wisconsin filmmaking, but it's funny because it really came clear to me when I was watching The Godfather of Green Bay, because there's a couple of different ways to view Wisconsin. Right?
Sure.
So I asked Conrad when we were getting ready to go here, if he's from Wisconsin. He's like, yeah, I'm from Northeast Wisconsin. Okay, so he sees things differently, right? I grew up in Wisconsin, but I've lived in Chicago, Florida, Montana, and L.A. And so you see different parts of the world, so you perceive the world here differently.
Right.
Especially if you're coming from one of those locations to here, because people are kind of over the top. So in your writing, did you feel that they were over the top characters that just needed to come out, or was that just for the comedic sense?
That's interesting. To me, it was purely a sort of autobiographic. I had done stand-up comedy. You know, you work your big rooms, then you go on the road, and you work little towns, a string of one-nighters to pay the rent. And that's kind of what these guys were doing in The Godfather of Green Bay. I love small-town bar characters. They're just, you know, I love dive bars, always have, whether they're in big cities or small towns. I find that's where you get the best characters. So that's kind of was my inspiration for setting it in a bar, in a roadside bar. And, you know, you throw some Wisconsin accents in there. Some people, you'd be surprised, don't like their accent being made fun of. And, you know, I did get a couple people come up to me after, go, we don't talk like that. I'm like, yeah, we do. And it's not a big deal. Just who cares? Like people, you know, when you show someone from Brooklyn or the South or a surfer, they all have that, you know, kind of twang or whatever it is with the language. And to me, that gives it authenticity. But yeah, that's kind of where
I think
we can
all agree on Boston, at least.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Boston, you know, they pretty much nail that in film all the time.
Absolutely. So Deermageddon, are there deer? Is there a deer hunting angle to it, or is it strictly high school football?
It's a zombie deer musical. So there's an element of zombie deer into it, as well as, you know, some high school footballish stuff. But really, it's a story about a man overcoming kind of this small town backwater thing where the town's going into the crapper, and he's trying to bring it back, right? They're trying to encourage this guy that was once the hero of their town to turn his life around, right? So it's kind of a Rocky story along with that, and there's zombie deer in it and some phenomenal songs. We booked a composer out of L.A. She's like 74. She's won like all these different awards. She conducts orchestras and everything else. She did the music and the arrangement, and I wrote all the lyrics. So
nice.
Yeah, it's just been a blast, man.
So, okay, so let me ask you this, JB. How do you get, if there are any aspiring filmmakers watching, when you shoot an indie film, you've got to raise money. You need money for the film. You need money to shoot, I mean, a proof of concept. You can't shoot that for free either. So are you guys using your own credit cards, some savings? How are you getting through this process? Because the frustrating thing is if you have a proof of concept, you're not going to make money back on that, most likely, unless you make the movie as a feature film, right?
Exactly.
So where do you go
With this, I mean, it was talking to a lot of different business owners and different people in the community. And I love helping people connect with other people, as you know.
You're the guy behind the guy.
the day before we were going to shoot this, we didn't know how we were going to fund it. And then I had a very good friend, you know, he's like, yeah, you still looking for money? Come on in. And I go into his office and he goes into a file cabinet. He grabs, you know, a wad of cash and he's like, will this be enough? And I'm like, perfect. So, you know, I'm really appreciative to him because that was the day before we started shooting. We had everything lined up and everything else. And I mean, you could take personal assets and stuff, but it's always better if you have somebody sponsor it, right?
Yeah, it's a nerve-wracking, you know, journey. And I think if as long as, in my experience, I was blatantly honest with people. I'm like, look, you have to be able to take this money, throw it out the window, and never see it again. And, you know, I never wanted to take food off someone's table. Like, I don't want your life savings. I don't want this. If you have expendable income and want to do something fun, you'll probably enjoy this. You know, I mean, you just have to shoot people straight, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the products that are turned out, I mean, it'll be something that'll last forever. That's the beauty of what we do in the indie filmmaking or indie, any type of filmmaking is once you create something, we're still watching films that were made when films started to be made, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Kind of brings everything into perpetuity.
Absolutely. My guest is J.B. Thompson. He's the guy behind the guy. At least he is for me. He's introduced me to a lot of people here in Northeast Wisconsin. And so did you grow up in Northeast Wisconsin, J.B., or a different part of the state?
Nope. I grew up in Oshkosh. So okay. I guess we kind of call ourselves Northeast Wisconsin. It depends where you are in the hierarchy because it kind of looks down as you go south on 41 or 43, like people look down upon the people that are below them, right? Fond du Lac the basin of it. So pretty much Green Bay, you know, looks down on Appleton. Appleton looks down on Oshkosh. It's just this fun, almost like Packer versus Bears thing, right?
Funny.
It's just this descent upon people that are in different locations in the state, I guess.
You know, it's so funny you say that because I think people just by their nature need to look down on someone else or make fun of the town across the river or whatever it may be. Yep. When I went to school at DePaul University in Chicago and I met a girl from Nina at a party and she was one of the volleyball players. And she said, I said, oh, I'm from Wisconsin too. She goes, where are you from? And I said, Marinette. And she goes, oh, you're way up there. And I'm like, that's the response I get. Look, Nina's way up there in the broad scope of things. Like, she just chose the one nugget that could make herself feel better. But,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's hilarious that you say that. All right. So you worked in the record business too. You said you worked for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I was in Chicago as a market manager. And then I went from Chicago to LA. That's what took me out to LA, was working for Warner Brothers Records. And just assisting with, you know, different groups in town, like bands that were traveling through, meet and greets, live shows, all different sorts of stuff, kind of like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Of, you know, helping out. And I worked with some phenomenal artists and I met some great people. And that's my bailiwick, is being in that creative space. I love creative people that, you know, aren't the people that are attached to working a 9-to-5, barely alive. You know,
right.
I love the creatives. I love the people that are willing to take a chance.
You weren't at any of Diddy's parties, were you?
I was not.
Oh, thank goodness.
He was, I think, on Sony or Columbia, so he wasn't part of the Warner Brothers thing.
He dodged that bullet. Is the music business as horrible as musicians say it is?
Well, I think it's really shifted now to get even worse. When I was there was still, you know, physical media, which is how a lot of the royalties and stuff came in. Now that that's gone, there was a record label called Victory Records that created what was called a 360 deal. And that really taxes bands more than anything. But now bands can get out without major distribution and kind of get a fan base, start a fan club, and make a really good living.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a lot tougher for us now because now we have to listen through a lot more stuff in order to find what we prefer, because everybody's got a voice, right?
Absolutely. So how did you like, did you like LA? I lived out there quite a while too, and I'm just curious as to what your experience was like.
I worked from home before remote work was a thing. I'd have to go into the office maybe a couple of days a week or maybe a day a month, depending on what my schedule was like. And most of my stuff was all out remote. So I didn't have to deal with the daily traffic grind and going back and forth, which is what most people complain about. So I'd just wait until a more appropriate time and go, I needed to do. So So I loved it. There was always a different flavor for different areas of town. If you wanted to go down to K-Town and have some of the best Korean barbecue, you could do that.
Yes.
If you wanted to go out to the beach, you could go to the Venice Beach, or you could go to, you know, Santa Monica Pier. There was just so many different things, and you get bored with that, go to San Fran, right?
And there's a lot of stuff
go to LA,
do for free
to Vegas.
That I was surprised at, too. Like, you're right. It's like, I was the same way. I never had to deal with the freeways, so I had a really enjoyable time, too. But if I had to commute an hour and a half one way, I probably would have hated it. But J.B. Thompson is here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about an event happening on October 5th. Well, you'll have to tell us about it, J.B. When we come back, we'll get into that, and we'll find out what he's watching on TV. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I sat there at the table and acted real naive. Her knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, orange man, losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
For the children of the West, nothing yes, it's all right.
We're back. I absolutely love that song. This is funny. Tom from New Berlin. He says, Pete, Kentucky Fried Movie from Homeboys, the Zachers. That's a misprint. It's supposed to be the Zuckers. But Tom did what I always do with autocorrect. He put Pete, Kentucky Fried Movie, Homeboys, the Zachers. Then he fixed it with a new text, the Zachers with an apostrophe S. And then the third text was the Zuchers, Z-U-C-H-U-R-S. I know what you meant, Tom. You meant the Zucker brothers, a couple of Wisconsin brothers. He said, Pete, you figured it out. Everybody will complain about getting hung with a new rope. what is that kind of?
I don't know.
I should have read that right when he wrote it. It would have made sense. But anyway, thank you, Tom, for the text. I did that all the time. Sorry to hear your dad dies. Oops. Do it again. Dried. Oops. Deaf. Dead. It's terrible. My guest is J.B. Thompson. He's the guy behind the guy, and he has a company called, help me out, J.B., Ninja Marketing?
Oh, Midwest Digital Ninjas is the name of
Digital,
my company.
That's a great
but
name.
I only cover home services and assisted living. I don't do much outside of that.
Okay.
Those are my preferred ones that I work with, and then, of course, I help out other people with different things. But, yeah, it's great. I've been doing that for a couple years now, and I love it.
Nice. Oh, that's fantastic. So, all right. So we've got, there's a big event coming up, and I had you and Dan Davies and Craig, one or all of you lined up Bill Rabane's appearance on my show. And Bill Rabane, for those of you listening who don't know, is sort of this, he's this director who made a film called The Giant Spider Invasion back in the 70s, and it's a cult classic. And Bill made several movies. And he's all. What I love about Bill, JB, is that he's not just from Wisconsin. He is in my hood, northern Wisconsin, baby. He makes his home way up in Wisconsin. So it was really fun to talk to him and know that he was also a fellow 715er. I really enjoyed the interview with him. Craig was here to help kind of facilitate that because he and Bill are friends. Tell us about this really cool event you guys have put together coming up next week.
Well, before I do that, Pete, do you know how he arrived in the 715? So he immigrated from, you know, Estonia.
Estonia
was had a conflict with the Russians. He was a refugee, then moved to Chicago. And then from Chicago, he was shooting something in northern Wisconsin, loved it, bought some land, called his wife and said, get up here.
Right. Sounded like he was kind of bossy.
It sounds kind of, well, I mean, I think it's just that he wanted a place where his kids could be, you know, kind of out and do stuff. But then he also established the first film studio in the Midwest called The Shooting Ranch, which he did commercials. He did like corporate training films and then started to get into The Giant Spider and then a number of other amazing films that he made, like The Game, which is also called The Cold, the movie with Tiny Tim called Nightmare. He's just a joy to talk to, man. Like, he and I have developed a pretty good friendship since Craig introduced him to me. So it's been super cool.
He did too. I don't remember what it was, JB, but he made some innovation in filmmaking and I can't remember what it is now. We discussed it when he was on the show, but just a real, kind of an innovator and a great story too. We talked when he was here, he talked a little bit about living in Chicago in the various neighborhoods. And, you know, when he came up here, he was ready for it, man. He loved the wide open spaces and the North Woods. So, it's pretty cool that he lives here, but so we have a couple minutes left. What's the event is going to be? Is it in Wyawega?
It's in Wyawega at the Gerald Opera House. We're honoring the 50th anniversary of the Giant Spider invasion. We're bringing Bill down. The Nava Mirage dance troupe's going to be there. They're going to do like a really cool dance. You got my buddy, like one of my best buddies, Will Kaiser, is going to be playing some songs there. Honoring him and his legacy of Wisconsin film. So that's going to be a great one. We got a bunch of raffle items donated by Central Waters, Hendrix Family Distillery, which they were in there by you.
Yeah.
Appleton Cigar, which they were in by you. Stubborn Brothers Brewery and Schmetti Salsa. It's going to be a really cool event. And then the fifth, there's actually a second event called the National Independent Film Awards. So for the people that you're talking about that are looking to get into film, going to an event like the National Independent Film Awards would be a great way to network with people. And that's happening on 10/5 at the Appleton Beer Factory, where they're going to be doing the documentary Through the Storm, which is a 9/11 documentary by the Black Donnellys and then Academy Award winning Jeff Ulm.
Very
so
nice.
So those are that's a big weekend coming up there.
I would say so. I just realized I think you were the one that put me in touch with Norm from Appleton Cigar too. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're my guy. You're tying me into the community here even more so in Northeast Wisconsin. I love it. But can people
we're
go?
We're happy you're here.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Can people still get tickets to either event and where would they go to get them?
Yeah, if you go and you just Google the NIFA Awards in Appleton, there's an event where you can get tickets right through there. The Appleton Music Factory, which is the venue that's at Appleton Beer Factory, they've got the tickets for the Black Donnellys, which is a band from Dublin, Ireland. They were a house band in Vegas for about the last few years, and now they've toured. They actually have Guinness Book World of Records, or Guinness World Records for playing a show in every state. When they came here from Ireland, they toured and played a show in every state.
That's so cool. Hey, we got to run, buddy. Thank you so much for, I know you got a busy night, but I appreciate you taking time out, JB, to be on the show. And I wish you luck. I know Craig and Dan will be here Monday to talk more about the event. Good luck with it. Break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Me posted on Deermageddon. I'm excited to see how that turns out for you guys.
Yeah, we're doing the premiere of that actually on October 4th as well during the Bill Remain
event.
Oh,
fantastic.
So we're spinning it that night.
Outstanding, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. My pleasure. We'll do
you
it again.
Too.
All right, that's JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 with new music. So much fun. And when we come back, the Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett talk about their Giant Spider Invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.